Moncrief on News Talk.
With the all-new Dacia Duster. We've even impressed ourselves with this one.
Stuff that changed the world.
The mobile phone. The internet changed the world.
Penicillin, I would have thought.
I would say sanitation.
It changes everything.
Simon Tierney joins us once again to talk about an odd choice, on the face of it perhaps, orange juice.
Orange juice, Sean. I'm a big fan of orange juice. Do you like orange juice?
Everybody likes orange juice, I would have thought.
Orange juice.
Yeah.
It's a curious one because this is something that we definitely take for granted now in Irish consumer culture. But it's a product that has evolved almost beyond recognition in my lifetime.
Yeah, it's astounding how recent it
so
is,
recent.
Really.
Yeah. It really is. I was in a supermarket yesterday and I counted 11 different types of orange juice in that one supermarket. So it's something that's really become just a part of a normal shopping experience. But when I was a child, and this makes me sound like I grew up in the 1950s, and I know this is radio, so I want to stress that I'm talking about the late 80s and early 90s. On a Sunday, as a special treat, we would have orange juice. Now, I found a picture and I put it on my Twitter a few minutes ago. I didn't think I'd be able to find it, but I remember it so clearly. It was a blue, small blue tin of squeeze concentrated orange juice.
Mm.
And then you would pour that into a jug and then you would add water to it. So it was more like a cordial. But this was exotic and a treat. For me when I was growing up. But if you presented that to someone now, it would be horrendous.
Yes.
You know? So that's how far we've come in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Now, to speak of the general history of orange juice, of course, it goes back a little bit further than that. So in the very early 1900s, people did not associate oranges with breakfast at all.
Okay? Yeah.
People would have tomato juice with their breakfast if they were having any sort of juice, because that had a longer shelf life. It was easier to package and send off to different parts of the world. Oranges were tricky, unless basically you lived in Florida or California. From an American perspective, you weren't going to be able to have orange juice. Now, the first attempts, or the first kind of discussion of an orange as a juiceable fruit, happens in 1916 when one of the first ad men, a man by the name of Alan Lasker, he saw potential in the orange, the citrus industry. So he teamed up with Sunkist, a company that still exists to this day.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, there's a massive surplus of oranges in California, but there isn't the demand for these and they're going to waste. Is there something that we can do? So they started selling the little glass juice extractors with the oranges, with a packet of oranges. And they launched a campaign called Drink an Orange. So the idea was to convince the public that you don't eat oranges anymore, now you drink them. And this had a massive effect on changing consumer perceptions of what an orange was to be used for, so to speak. Then we go to the 1930s and we see the first attempts at an orange juice drink, which was squeezed for you as opposed to having to squeeze it yourself. And this was in Florida. But what farmers would do was that they would make orange juice, then they would put it in tins and they would freeze it. Okay. Now, then they would ship it off to Middle America or whatever, people who didn't have access to oranges. And they would open it and you didn't have to add water or anything like that. This wasn't necessarily concentrated, but it was just an orange gloop. It was disgusting. It wasn't even an orange colour anymore. It was brown.
Ugh.
And it had completely degraded the essential oils, the whole process. So it was a disaster.
Yeah, that's kind of disgusting.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so, but I suppose then to make orange juice remain like orange juice and give it some shelf life, they probably had to start adding crap to it.
Yeah, or at least pasteurizing it in some way. So what happens is, it's quite interesting. During World War II, specifically 1942, the American Department of Agriculture, they incentivized a group of scientists to try and come up with a way to give orange juice a decent shelf life.
Mm.
And the reason for this was that they wanted to ship it out to their troops during World War II, who were fighting in both Europe and in the Pacific, in Japan and the rest. And they got a guy called C.D. Atkins, who was a research scientist with the department, and he managed to develop a pasteurization and a concentration process which is still used today. An unbelievably revolutionary way of making orange juice. And what he did was he called it the cutback process, Sean. So he concentrated orange juice by heating it, so pasteurizing it to kill the pathogens and evaporating the water away from it. That leaves you with your gloop.
Right.
Now, that's obviously undrinkable. Mm. It's extremely strong to drink, and it's very thick as well. It's more like a smoothie. But what he did was he added some real orange juice, a percentage of real orange juice, back into that concentrate, which had two effects. It gave it a fresh orange juice flavour, a fresh orange flavour, but it also gave some vitamin C back, which was the whole reason why the US military wanted the orange juice in the first place, because it stops scurvy, it stops people getting colds and all the rest. This cutback process meant that suddenly you had an orange juice product which you could safely ship, had a decent shelf life. So this was put in cans, it was frozen, people bought it in their frozen food shops, and then they, you know, thawed it out the night before they wanted it, and then they added water to it. It was a rather complicated process.
Yes,
but,
indeed.
You know, at least people who didn't live near tropical states in America were able to enjoy orange. Again, it's still wasn't a popular product. Orange juice had a really bad reputation, and people still didn't understand that this was something that you would add to your breakfast menu.
Why did it have a bad reputation?
Because
it was just gloopy.
Because it was this horrible, disgusting gloop that people didn't want to drink that. They preferred to have their tomato juice.
So how did they overcome this poor reputation? I suppose the awesome power of advertising.
Yeah, the awesome power of advertising and the awesome power of celebrity, Sean. This is a very curious one. I never thought I'd say this. People will associate Bing Crosby with Christmas, perhaps, coming up to that now, and his movies and his music. But I can honestly sit here and say that Bing Crosby convinced us all to drink orange juice. And what he did was he had a radio show in the late 40s and early 50s on CBS, and he partnered with Minute Maid, which is still one of the largest orange juice companies in the world, owned by Coca-Cola. And they would advertise Minute Maid on his program. You know, him and his sidekick would have conversations. Bing would query, he'd say to his sidekick, "Ken, what's the shopping hint for today?" And without fail, his sidekick would immediately reply, "Well, it's Minute Maid fresh frozen orange juice, ladies, and your frozen food store has it." So again, this was a time when people were getting refrigeration and freezers in their homes. The whole idea of convenience food and Bird's Eye, of course, was developing at this time, and suddenly the idea of frozen orange juice became a reality. He was so involved in this that he even recorded a jingle for Minute Maid to persuade his listeners to buy orange juice.
Orange juice that's fresh and fine, Minute Maid. Freshly frozen, bright sunshine, Minute Maid. Finest flavor from the tree, and so full of vitamin C. It's convenient as can be, Minute Maid.
I certainly want to buy some orange juice now. That's tapping-tastic.
What I love what he says, freshly frozen sunshine. You know, at that time, the idea of freezing something was considered a real attribute to your product. Yeah. Nowadays, we would kind of play that aspect down, rather, I think. We want everything to be fresh now, you know?
Yeah, it's also, it's interesting because this is so, and some advertising has so much to do with all this. Phil, who's an American, says late 80s, early 90s, before you got orange juice. What? Lol. Okay, Phil. Anne says, do you remember orange juice was served in Ireland as a starter in hotels and restaurants, usually in a glass about the size of a shot glass? I don't remember that. I remember them small glasses, but that would be breakfast time. Someone else says, freeze a tin of squeeze orange juice for a few hours, beat a tin of evaporated milk until it more than doubled, keep going, mix two and freeze in Tupperware, storing for a minute every hour or so for 4 hours, the nicest orange sherbet ice cream you could imagine. Okay, that's a lot of work. In my first job in 1992 in a family-run hotel, one of my first jobs was preparing the orange juice. I was instructed to use the concentrated tin of juice and then add the juice of two freshly squeezed oranges, scraping a lot of the flesh into the mix. Voila, 100% fresh OJ. Honestly, I thought it was a great idea. That's so cunning. I'm 47, grew up in Dublin, but my granny lived in Donegal. Back in the 70s, it took about 7 to 8 hours to get there. We used to stop in a hotel in Monaghan when things were quiet in the north, or Sligo when the troubles were bad, for a fancy dinner. The choice of starter was soup, melon or orange juice. We used to think the orange juice, choose the orange juice because it was so exotic. Bizarre to think of that now. Mm. So if you can remember, and it's obviously in the living memory,
this is really recent Irish history.
If you can remember having to open the tin, when did fresh orange juice become available?
That's the thing. So I think fresh orange juice in Ireland, like some as a product that you could buy in the shops, is very recent. We're talking at a stretch late 90s, but early part of this century, I would imagine. I mean, in America, it started in 1954, 50 years before. It was an Italian immigrant by the name of Anthony Ross. He wanted to find a way to stand out from the frozen concentrate market, so he invented a new procedure called flash pasteurization, which meant that he brought his orange gloop concentrate up to a very, very high temperature for a very short period of time and then brought it down again, and this killed the pathogens, but it also extended the shelf life of his orange juice, and he started packaging it in these waxed cardboard containers, which also helped it to extend the shelf life. And he started selling fresh orange juice, and he called it Tropicana.
Huh. Really?
Yeah. Which is still a very popular product today, and one of the leading producers, of course, of orange juice.
But I suppose is that fresh orange juice, technically speaking? Because we think of fresh orange juice as it's squeezed and there's the orange juice, rather than it's gone through some sort of weirdy process.
Of course, you know? Yeah. I actually recently bought a squeezer, a juice extractor, like a little glass one. It cost me like €2.50. Mm. And I've started squeezing my own oranges. Like, it takes so much work to get like a quarter of a glass of orange juice. But it's absolutely delicious. And it tastes completely different to orange juice that you buy in a supermarket.
Well, as you know, we do a lot of outside broadcasts around the country. And as a result of that, we stay in a fair amount of hotels. And that's the way most hotels in Ireland are pretty good, actually. Mm. But that's the way I judge the hotel, whether they give me concentrate with the breakfast.
Absolutely.
Or fresh.
And it's remarkable
juice.
How many hotels still have the concentrate.
Yeah.
Because it's like a different drink. It really doesn't taste like freshly squeezed orange juice at all.
Yeah. And we should, before we finish, give a kind of an honourable mention to the first orange juice drink in Ireland.
Yes.
What was that?
Yeah, a man by the name of Oliver Grace. He was a syrup maker in the 1930s in Dublin. I believe he was from Clondalkin. And he invented a drink called Club Orange, and he included the juice, the pith and the rind, but then of course he carbonated it, the famous Club Orange, which you can still buy today. What I didn't realise is an interesting little bit of trivia is the reason why it's called Club Orange. And the managing director of C&C Group at that time, his favourite haunt in Dublin was the Kildare Street and University Club just down here in Dublin too, and he called it Club Orange as a result.
Oh, la-di-da.
Yes.
Fascinating as ever. Simon, thanks a million for coming in to us. Simon Tierney there.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With the all-new Dacia Duster. We've even impressed ourselves with this one.